What's the least glamorous part of your job?
I would say all the cleanup, mostly.
That's a great one because, you know, like...
People don't ever see that part. When you're shooting a video and it's 6 or 8 hours long, how much stuff did you drag out to create all this stuff?
Not only the food and the, like, dishes that you have to do elsewhere, but then, like, the camera.
Yeah,
and
the lighting.
Yeah, all the things. Yeah, that's a good one.
Howdy, my name is Kent Rawlings. I've been a cowboy and a chuck wagon cook for over 30 years, cooking for ranches all across America. You might have seen me on the Food Network or alongside my beautiful wife, Shannon, on our YouTube show, where we share cowboy cooking from the trail. But now we're going to take you behind the scenes to real campfire conversations. Join us as we share humor, cowboy wisdom, and stories full of history, heart, faith, and of course, a little fire. So grab you a cup of coffee, pull up a chair, and welcome to the podcast. But I'm here to tell you, it wasn't one viral video. It was hundreds of times doing something over and over, trying to make something better every day. And for the last 15 years, researching, working, cooking, building fires, and all the stuff that Shan does. I mean, from behind the scenes, y'all see me out there, but this woman right here is the talent, the brains, the good-lookingness of the whole thing.
I don't know about that, but today we're going to kind of deep dive behind the scenes of, like, how did we take simple cowboy cooking and turn it into a brand with over 7 million followers?
Yes, but I think before we go any further, I owe people an explanation.
Okay, so I wasn't going to say anything, but then I realized our fans and audience
they
are
know.
So astute in little things. And so, Kent, you had something done a week ago.
Yep.
And people maybe notice, if you're watching on YouTube, your eyes are a little swollen.
Yep. My wife beat me in the night with a cast iron skillet because breakfast wasn't ready.
No. So, Kent, you had an upper bleph surgery. Is what it's called, I believe.
I just called it eyelid.
So one day, Kent, well, it's been over a while. I've been noticing, like, you can't see as well.
Oh, I see just fine.
And this is hereditary because your brother had it.
My mother had it.
Your eyelids started to impede on your vision.
Especially at night.
And so I said, just go to the eye doctor, get it checked out. Because obviously when I say something is wrong, that's not enough. So we had to go to the professionals. And so sure enough, the doctor's like, yeah, you need to get this done. This isn't cosmetic at this point. And so you had some of the skin removed from the upper. And you did say that things are looking brighter, even with the swelling.
Yeah, you have a wider field of vision.
Yeah.
You know, I can still, before this, I could see a cow half a mile away, but I couldn't find my billfold in the house. You know?
Right.
But I think a lot of that was memory, not eyesight. But I mean, they said, well, you can wear these glasses and people wouldn't have to look at it. Because for a while, I was wearing dark sunglasses.
No, it's a lot better now.
Because I was scaring the public. Kids were running off, so it looked like Frankenstein.
Now, a lot of people have asked you this, and maybe for some of our audience who is thinking about this. At this point, a week out, would you recommend this surgery?
Well, don't let Shan do it. Her and Mage did this in the night, and it was, you know, little duct tape, some baling wire, but I can tell a difference today, you know, because there's not as much pain as there was. There's not as much swelling.
Yeah.
Your wife, if you do have it done, your significant other is going to laugh at you. She will. She said one day I look like a sad little puppy and the next day I look like a chipmunk because I had these jaws all swelled up.
But I think you're really going to notice a big difference as the swelling goes down. And you used Proffer Eye Associates in Amarillo, just in case anybody's wondering. But let's just move on.
Yes.
And let's talk about the good stuff. Let's start where we're talking about YouTube primarily, but then also that goes into all of the social media. Because as you guys know, social media is everywhere. And you can't just be on one platform anymore. But YouTube was kind of like the golden child. And then we expanded from there. But let's talk about the early days, first of all. Right. Like, what did that look like? Did we mean to start a YouTube channel?
I don't think so.
No.
You know, in 1991, when I first started with a wagon, I just meant to try to make a living. You know, didn't even know YouTube was out there.
I mean, I have to look back. YouTube, when we started, it was a thing, but I feel like it was still
pretty new.
Pretty new, and yeah. People were still figuring things out. And, you know, we kind of got in at a good time.
Yeah. But I think it all started about, you know, with the cooking I was doing, catering, cooking for working ranches, mm-hmm. you know, and then
doing a lot of catering.
Then there was the time where the phone would ring and people say, hey, we want you to be on the Food Network to do something, or we want mm-hmm. you to do this, you know. And it just sort of got to being one after another, not real quick at times, because me and you were wishing the phone would ring a little faster at times. But I think it all led up to something to where I remember telling you, I enjoy TV.
That's the thing that really struck a chord with me, is because you really enjoyed the production aspect of it. I think you really enjoyed sharing this part of our life with people.
Yeah.
And I think what was great is that it was super unique. At the time that Food Network was really big, it was primarily stand and stir.
Yep.
And you had people just sitting there showing you how to make brownies, and there wasn't much to it in a kitchen controlled environment. And then, of course, there was a lot of the cooking competitions that started taking off. But I think what people really enjoyed about you is you were kind of out of the box.
Yeah.
We've got a chuck wagon, we're cooking outdoors, it's live fire. There's all these unpredictable components, and that is what makes you and our cooking style interesting.
Yeah.
We certainly did not start off wanting to be quote unquote influencers. And I hate that term because I don't know, I feel like it's gotten kind of a bad rap. The job title influencer did not exist
when
we had started. So I prefer content creators at this point.
I mean, if you influence somebody every day in what you do in life, you know,
yeah.
And people ask me, I remember this guy asked me one time, so you're an influencer. And I said, well, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And it's the same way with what we do. We try to put the best thing out there we can mm-hmm. all the time. But we learned to rely on the thing, I think, that got us through most of it. And that was just faith.
And hard work.
And hard work, sweat, and a lot of firewood.
And just keep taking one step forward, yeah. because it was the Wild West.
Oh, it was that.
And social media still is the Wild West. Don't think, and we're going to get into this, but don't think we have it figured out, and don't think anybody else has it figured out, because it's constantly changing. So we didn't necessarily start out seeking to be influencers or content creators. I think what we did was we saw an opportunity where Kent, you were great on camera. You loved sharing cooking. You loved sharing the lifestyle, and you loved connecting with people. And that first started doing cooking competitions.
Yep.
And we got to a point where, whether it was the Food Network or different production companies, were really reaching out and wanted to create a TV show, which at the time, it was huge.
Yeah.
Because we were struggling.
Yes.
We were struggling in what we wanted to do. How do we grow our brand?
How do we make a living?
How do we put food on the table?
Yes.
You know, and everybody, I think most of y'all know that, like, especially if you're in a new job or you're just starting out in whatever it is, maybe you're newlyweds, it's hard and you don't know exactly what path you're going to take and what is it going to look like?
Yeah.
So what were we doing at this point?
Well, I think when the food competitions come along and we had so many people reach out and say, hey, we got this show for you. That's when we figured out really that they wanted reality. We wanted real.
Yeah.
You know, and people kept saying, oh, no, you know, you can do this and you can do this. They want drama, you know.
Do you remember? So I remember one company was talking to you and they had the basic premise, you know, they're going to go and follow us around and cooking on ranches. And he said, but do you know a cowboy that like screams a lot and like cusses and like maybe he can throw things, because that would really make good TV. And I'm thinking, yeah, they don't really get it.
They don't. They didn't have a clue what we really wanted out of it.
Was there any crazy ask that you remember from a producer as they're doing this like TV development?
I remember one of them asked us one time, we'd just like to follow y'all from catering job to catering job. And I'm thinking, mm-hmm. how boring would that be? You know?
Really? Yeah.
You unload the wagon, you set everything up, you feed 500 people, you load the wagon, you drive 1,000 miles, you do it over. You know? I didn't want to see it again.
The catering side wasn't as glamorous as I think the other things that we do. Yeah.
through all the competitions that we did, I think it did bring about one thing, and that was recognition. People got to where they'd say, oh, I saw you on Chopped, or I saw you on the Food Network. But I didn't want to be thinking that this is what they remembered us from our time on a reality show.
I think you had a bigger message, right?
Yeah. I mean, we had something we needed to tell people, and that was, it's just not stand and stir cooking, or I can cook better than you. You ain't going to make it. You're going to get chopped. You're gone. Let's talk about doing something real that's not just about food, but shows a lifestyle, a culture, a history, and do it to where people can enjoy it and let everybody watch it.
And that's at the moment I decided, hey, we can do this on our own. We don't need to rely on a production company or a food company to put content out there, because YouTube existed.
Yeah.
And YouTube was building. And it's interesting, YouTube is still, I think, the number one platform visited in the entire world. So it's a great resource. So I was like, let's just put out a video. So we put out a video. I think it was like a little cook. We had a cooking school at one point, promotion there, and then doing a little, here's like how to make cowboy beans or whatever. I remember one of the very first videos we did, and I would love for y'all to go back and watch it, because you can see the evolution of the quality of our content has gotten so much better. We went to the Bell Ranch in northern New Mexico, outside of Tucumcari. This was my first big cooking. We were out there for 5.5 weeks.
Yep.
And it was right after we'd gotten married.
Yep.
And one of our friends had given us a little camcorder for a wedding present. And I thought, hey, I'm just going to go out and kind of like document our journey out here on this ranch. And it was really neat, because this was the first time in over 50 years, I think, they had pulled out a wagon. And so they were doing it all traditional style. So the wagon is hooked to a team of horses. We pull it out. We're traveling 12 miles a day.
Yeah, pretty close.
Between camps, over 135 miles we put on the wagon total. Do you remember, like, what was your first, when we drove up to that ranch, like, what were you thinking?
First of all, it's great history. I mean, that ranch was so big, it had its own post office at the ranch for a long time. And when they called and said they hadn't had a wagon out in 50-something years because they couldn't find somebody that could cook and drive a wagon, you know? So I'm thinking, we're going to get to do something to me that's very special, something that I wanted to do for a long time, and that's go on one of these big iconic ranches, stay for a long time, feed cowboys, see the country. But I just remember pulling up in that wagon yard. The wagon was out there, and all the crew was there.
There was this crazy excitement in the air.
Because they hadn't done it in so long.
And it was a young crew, and so a lot of those kids had not even been on a wagon. They knew the history involved. They knew what was about to happen. It was pretty exciting, there was also this unknown factor.
Yeah, because I remember you asking me, what time are we going to get up? And I said, 2. And you said, 2 o'clock? And I said, yeah, breakfast is at 4. But I remember you had that little red camcorder.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, this is going to change our world.
Did you think that?
I did, because this is something I wanted to preserve, to show people what we did. Yeah. I'm thinking, this will grow our business. You know, this will be production quality.
And you know what? Maybe it did.
It might have.
Because as you had mentioned at the top, it wasn't one thing.
No.
And that's the thing I really want to stress to people. As you're growing a business or a brand, or even in your job, it's not one thing that you're like, oh, I finally made it.
Yeah.
Because even now, when I strive to do things, or we strive to do things like, oh, if we just hit 1 million views, then we've made it. Or if we just hit this many subscribers, then we've made it. But once you get there, there's always somewhere else to go.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird when you're there, it's not what you thought it would be. It's not as grand as you think.
I mean, you climb there to get to that plateau, you know, and think, this, you know, I've made it. What am I going to do now? You just keep climbing.
You do keep climbing. And I do want to say one thing. This may be in our biggest mistake segment later, but now that it's on my mind, I want to say it. One thing I regret, and I remember as I've been doing like different business classes or social media training online, someone had said this and it really resonated with me. don't forget to celebrate.
Yeah.
And we didn't.
We did.
We're trying to be better. And it doesn't have to be big. Like when we hit 1 million subscribers, I don't know that we celebrated.
We had a bologna sandwich.
Maybe, you know, but it doesn't have to be a big win. Every little thing, take a moment, take it in and celebrate that. Yeah. Maybe it's a going out to dinner. Maybe it's a trip to Italy, yeah, whatever it is. Because I think when you get in the grind, you've got your head down and you forget to look up and realize where you've gotten and the wins that you've made. So celebrate those.
Yeah.
That's my little tip there.
You can't get so busy in life that you forget, first of all, where you come from. But also, don't forget to realize, look what I accomplished. Take some pride in yourself. Be happy in the moment that you got there. But don't think, this is all of it. I'm not going any further. I've climbed to the top rung. They another ladder out there.
Yeah.
And you just got to keep on.
So I've got this camcorder.
Yes.
And I'm just...
You're looking professional.
I'm just showcasing what we're doing. This is a nothing fancy, by the way. There's no audio. The audio is only coming from the camera itself, which I later learned, and a lot of you know, you've got to have audio, yeah, a separate audio mic'd up. That's huge. But hey, so we're going along and it's just a day-to-day... We're cooking up. Of course, I cook on the wagon,
yeah,
as equally as you do. Of course, I'm holding the camera, so you don't see me doing that. But we're cooking, we're feeding cowboys for 5 weeks, and just showing the different parts of this. It was really cool. For
it
what
was.
We had, it was a neat deal. It was a two-parter.
Yeah.
But you can see the quality is rough.
I went back and watched it again not long ago.
Did you?
Just because I wanted to see some of those people. You know, I hadn't seen them in forever.
Yeah.
But there's a part where you're in the wagon with your little camcorder and you're sort of filming over my shoulder,
yeah,
as the team is going down. And you can hear the jingling, mm-hmm, of the trace chains, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at, and I'm not meaning it bad towards you, the graininess of the mm-hmm, the quality and stuff. And then I watch a video that's yesterday and I'm thinking, ooh.
And
we've been somewhere.
I was trying to be like a professional biographer too. So I had I had interviews set up with,
yeah,
these cowboys and they're thinking like, okay, whatever. They were great sports.
They
about
were.
It. But you know, the wind's blowing. And so the audio is kind of rough, but it's a great reflection on where we've been.
Yeah.
I read one thing one time, somebody was like, well, you know, my YouTube has gotten so much better. Should I delete my old videos? Absolutely not. Because it's a great reminder of how far you've come.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people look back and realize they can see the journey,
yeah,
and
they
appreciate
where it starts.
It.
You know, we have some of the greatest fans in the world, and I get a comment a lot. I've been watching you ever since you started at the Bell Ranch.
That's
you know,
great.
They've went from the camcorder all the way, you know, and I go back and watch them every once in a while just to think, this is where it started.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never ending,
mm-hmm,
because we're going to keep it going.
Then from there, my editing got better. Audio got better. I'm not a big tech person. I'm much more about the story and the content. Of course, tech is important. But here's another big takeaway that shocks people. And we've said this a lot. From day one, other than the Bell Ranch video when I had the camcorder, to this day, I still record everything on an iPhone.
Yeah.
So here's, you don't have an excuse. I haven't started a YouTube channel because I don't have the equipment. I haven't started Facebook Reels because I don't have the right stuff. We started with a phone. That's all you need, especially when we're outdoors.
Yeah.
The light changes. We don't have a controlled environment. The phone is the easiest thing. And I personally don't want to spend a ton of time learning a bunch about cameras and how they work and changing settings. That's just not important to me. Like I said, I think what's important is our content and the storytelling,
yeah,
you have and sharing food. So that's a thing. Like, decide what's important to you. Now, of course, if you are starting a gadget brand, of course you need to be on top of that stuff. But you need to figure out what your why is and how you're going to communicate that effectively. I don't think, and especially in the beginning, people really cared that the quality was low.
No. I mean, you go back and look at them videos and you see the views they got. And I don't think at that time, I don't know how many people were shooting on professional cameras on YouTube. They might have been shooting on camcorders, everybody. You know, I don't have a clue. But it lets people look back and realize, hey, these folks, they started just from simple.
This is a question I'm sure a lot of people have, because you first need to start with your passion. And I wouldn't recommend getting into social media or brand building if it's all about money, because you won't succeed. You need to have another passion beyond that. It has to be, like for us, we wanted to share, we wanted to connect with people, we wanted to share Kent's stories. All that being said, it does turn into a business. And you have to make money at it. You have to put food on the table. You have to survive. So, Kent.
Yes, ma'am.
How long do you think it was before we started making meaningful money in the brand itself? Taking out the catering and taking out the ranch cooking, like when the social media. When did we start making like a living off of it? Do you remember?
You know, the earliest videos come out 2014, 2015, long in there. And I didn't even really know what was going on at the time. But I remember us going back and looking after we'd seen that people had watched that first cooking school video. And then they watched some videos about the Bell Ranch and me cooking on the grill. And I'm thinking, you'd see the people's comments and you see what people were thinking, see what people were saying. And you think, maybe we just need to do this more often. Because we didn't even have a system then. There was one video here and then month and a half, we'll have another one.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like feeding cows in the wintertime. You got to be consistent. You got to have a plan that lets the viewer know, hey, I'm going to be here at this time every day, every week, no matter. I'm really thinking it was 3 years before we even realized, hey, we've got enough subscribers to be monetized.
I want to say, and that changes too. I want to say maybe, 3 to 5 years probably, that we were like then seeing something. Now I don't want to discourage people because that seems like a long time. You have to remember that was also back in the day. We didn't have resources. We didn't have people to like learn things off of. And so there's a lot more resources today on how to effectively build a brand and content. So you can kind of speed that up a little bit. But I do want to say it was closer to 5 years till like we could really maybe start relying more.
I remember it was about 4 to 5 years after we started, we went to Oklahoma State University football game. And at that time on YouTube, we had 71,000 subscribers.
Oh, wow.
And we were sitting there and they said, today's attendance is 73,500. And I remember I telling you, look at all these people. That's how many people we got that are subscribed to our channel.
Yep.
And it sort of brought it really to a presence to me. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, and then people are relying on us. And I thank you each and every one. If you were some of them first one that's been on there, whew, I mean, that was motivation to me right there.
Yeah. You know what also was a big jump for our channel was COVID.
Ooh.
COVID was a really hard time, but there were blessings of COVID. One was that we got to meet a lot more people. People were at home. They were stuck. They wanted to learn something. They came to our channel. Outside, being outside was super big during COVID. And so outdoor cooking, that exploded. And so COVID was a really big time for us.
It brought a lot of people to the computer. And there were so many comments. Hey, you're helping me get through COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, we went to the store and everybody's done got all the bread. You taught us how to make bread. Mm-hmm. Or we're making cowboy coffee in the fireplace.
You know what I remember too is when Texas's grid collapsed.
Oh yeah,
the
ice storm,
the electrical grid, and something insane amount, like people are out of power. I remember we got so many comments of people like, you helped us survive because we couldn't cook with electricity, so we got outside or we made cowboy coffee.
Yeah,
and so again, it was like those little things that keep you thinking, okay, what we're doing is important, and it's bringing joy to people.
That's right. That's so, what it's
like,
about.
Let's keep doing that.
Yeah.
Was there a turning point, do you think? Was there like one turning point for you?
I think when really we come after the Chop Grill Masters and after our first cookbook, I think that was So, I mean, them two sort of work together to play with YouTube. And I'm thinking, we've got like some headwater on the stream now. We're rolling. You know, there was Child Grill Masters, cookbooks fixed to be published.
That was in 2015.
Yeah. I think that really sort of pushed me in a way to think, and sure, there was a lot of folks reaching out saying, you need to have TV, you need to do this, you need to do this. But it made me realize we were in control of our own content, our own destiny.
That was big.
Yeah.
Because from that point on, it felt like we were relying on other people so much for our success. Like, oh, if we get in with this production team, or if we have a good meeting on this time, or if we really impress this person, then we'll get on TV, then we'll get this brand deal, then this will happen. We were relying too much on other people when we could control our destiny.
I remember when the first cookbook came out, and CBS Sunday Morning did that piece, you know.
Scott Simon, that was wonderful.
And I was on a ranch in west of San Angelo out there at the Rocker B. And I can remember thinking, you know, there's TV, there's all kinds of things. But being on that ranch, the day that CBS Sunday Morning aired, the day that we sold a lot of cookbooks online, and I'm not talking about just for the money, just to reach people. And I was in a place to where it started, on a ranch, cooking. And it just made it come full circle to me. And I'm thinking, you know, we had a guy that had been working on a show for us, and he was so close. He said, we got this deal done. It's on the Food Network desk. What happened?
The CEO of the Food Network had the contract on his desk. He was going to sign it the next morning. That evening, Food Network consolidated and fired all the upper echelon.
Yeah.
Gone.
And he called me while I was on that ranch, and he was crying. It just broke his heart. And I said, hey, we're going to make it. I got firewood. We're in good shape, you know. But I think you get to go through life and you think, this is what I want to be. This is what I want to be. This is what I got to be. And you put so much focus on one thing that you don't see all the other little things that you could become. Mm-hmm. And them are the little blessings in life that often just reach out there and say, hey, this didn't work, but if you'll just keep going, you'll keep trying. Let's do this.
I think pivoting, right?
Oh, yeah. You got to learn. You got to be 360.
All the time.
Yeah, all the time.
And it can be just little baby pivots. Yeah. You know, it doesn't have to be a full like rebrand. But I think that's what we learned too, is just maybe this isn't meant to be. Let go.
Yeah.
Pivot. And it was more like, well, okay, well, what do we want? What's the message we want to send? We don't want a television show where people are screaming and throwing things. We want to share real stories, people, faith, food, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I think the big turning point too was understanding our audience.
Yes.
And we got a little more data-driven, because I want to say something that may shock a lot of people that don't understand the social media world. We can't always put out content that we want to put out. We have to look at what you are searching for. What do you want? And we reverse engineer things. It takes a lot of research behind one video that comes out. It's not just like, hey, can't your mama made the best blueberry pie? Let's do a video on that because it literally is the best thing ever. Well, we can't, because one, are people searching for it? Is it the time of year for blueberry pie? Are blueberries in season? Is there a blueberry deficit? I mean, there's so many things. So one thing that's interesting is the back end research. It takes, I'm going to try to break it down. Like, if for one episode, how long does it take for us to film one episode?
If you're going to go back and do all the research, and before we ever get to the day we're going to film, you done put in
probably 8 hours, maybe
8 to 12 hours on that.
That's just like the back end research. Yeah. And then also recipe development. So you've probably got like 4 hours in that. Yeah. The filming itself, like on camera, it really depends on what the recipe is, but anywhere from 5 to 10 hours. Like if you're doing a smoking video, those are longer.
Yeah.
And then you have the post-production. So we've got editing. I did all of the editing up until about a year ago. We had had some editors here and there, and that was really hard for me to let go of, because this is our baby. But now I do a first pass, like rough edit, and then I send it to editors and we kind of go back and forth. So then you've got the post edit, which is probably another 6 to 8 hours. Then you have the promotion of it. So like once it goes live, well, what then we have to promote it, put it on our website, our email newsletter, so our different Facebook,
yes,
Instagram, TikTok, all of that. So
it's not just let's shoot a video and put it on there.
Mm-hmm. And like, and let's just hope everybody likes blueberry pie. No, we've got to look at, we look at search trends, data,
yeah,
what people are searching for. So there's a lot that goes into it.
And I want to tell everybody out there watching, nobody taught her how mm-hmm. to be a editor, a camera person, a producer, a researcher. I admire this woman so much. Not only is she a great cook, she's tough. As an old man said one time, and he said, I mean this as a compliment to her now, Kent. She's tougher than boot leather and shinier than a brand new penny. I mean, she just gets it done. I've seen you be up against a wall to where mm-hmm. you're thinking, this mic ain't working. This ain't going to be right. This ain't going to happen. But I think we've been together enough and we've been through enough. You have that same mentality. You don't quit.
Mm-hmm.
You figure out a way. If it's duct tape and baling wire, you get her done.
I remember we were shooting a video for, it was bread pudding.
The tripod.
We were on a ranch cooking for, I think it was a certified Angus
yeah.
beef.
Yeah.
Deal.
In Kansas,
was it?
Mm-hmm.
So we're on this ranch and we're cooking a meal, but I thought, let's also film a video yeah. while we're here, which was kind of crazy. And we're going to do bread pudding with whiskey cream sauce, which is an amazing recipe. If you guys want to check it out, we've got them all on our website. So I'm setting everything up and the tripod breaks because I'm sure at the time our budget was extremely low and I had some like $10.99 tripod I found at Walmart
yeah.
and it breaks. And I'm just like, I'm going to break down. I can't do this. What are we going to do? And I remember you're like, that's no problem. And you grab two shovels and maybe
two shovels and a teepee pole.
And you had duct tape.
Yes, and you duct taped
and
them
you
all
duct
together,
taped it around
like a little tripod
and set it up. And that's how we filmed that episode. Yeah. So
you're going to run across obstacles. There are going to be things that step out in the way, things that just don't work. And so many times in life, you can say, well, if it ain't going to work, it wasn't meant to be. I'm just going to quit. You know, you never get nowhere in life if you quit. And this woman right here has no quit in her. She is, whew, you so far above my pay grade on talented things you can do on a computer and a kitchen both and a Dutch oven.
Well, it's and it was hard back then because, again, you couldn't YouTube everything back then, like how to film outdoors, how to fix your audio, stuff like that. So it was a lot of trial and error. I want to go into a section of the biggest lessons that we've learned and taken away. As you said, it's not just one viral video. I think for a lot of people, and I was the same way, you see maybe an actor or you see a brand or you see a person all of a sudden in the spotlight and you think, well, wow, that was like a one-hit wonder. How'd they do that? Very, very rarely is it just one thing that catapults somebody. It's all these little things that you're doing behind the scenes when nobody's looking that really makes the difference. And I am with you all. If you are in that mud hole right now where you're just trying to climb yourself out and you're doing all these little things, keep doing it because it will happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe one of the hardest things of having your own business or brand. You're the last line of defense, right? Like there's nowhere else to go. And sometimes it's a lot, but it's just pulling yourself out one little step at a time.
It's not going to be easy every day. If it was, it wouldn't even be no fun.
Everybody would do it.
Yeah.
The one thing I think you would mention too, consistency beats perfection every time.
Yes.
So whatever it is you're doing, be consistent about it. We put out a video every Wednesday. Now we put out a podcast every Sunday. Is it perfect every time? No. Have we done all of the research that we should have sometimes? No. Like you have had your surgery. So some of our content got a little behind or we're kind of like scrambling to get stuff done. What I realized and what I really love about social media is that it's so much more relaxed. When we were first doing videos, I was trying to produce like it was the Sundance Film Festival.
Yes.
And I remember one guy said like, oh, I really love it, the bloopers, or like when Kent messes up. And I thought, oh, you mean so I don't have to be perfect? You like real? Who knew? And I think that was big. I think it's hard now because there's so many influencers and content creators that inauthenticity kind of creeps in. But I think in the long run, being authentic and being who you are is going
to
win out.
Yeah. If you stay true to yourself, people can spot a counterfeit 100 miles away. And it will ruin not only your reputation, but it'll ruin your viewers. They will not be there for you no more. Find something you like to do in life that is a passion that you know you can create, that you can master. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but put your heart into something that your heart wants to be in and get it done that way.
The story matters more than fancy cameras, and your audience matters more than views.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing for me to remember and to keep in. Your audience matters more than the views. Who are you trying to connect with? Because if you get some viral video and maybe it gets a million views, but those people aren't sticking around for the next one, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Who are you trying to connect with? Why are they going to keep coming back? You owe your loyalty to your audience and your lifers, yeah. Right?
That's why we tell y'all every time, you're not fans, you're family. Because that's what we wanted to create, was something here that was just, sure, there's food, there's history, but it's family time. I can remember being little and so much, you look forward to them times to where you could gather around the table or everybody sit in the living room and you had family time. Like now, we have family time, but one of the family is asleep.
Which you all have made mention, like he could, Major, our dog here can sleep through a freight train. And that's probably true.
He loves a podcast.
Biggest thing too is don't chase the trend. That's really hard in social media. But if you realize trends change faster than you can blink.
Yeah.
So if you're constantly chasing the trends, there's nothing for you to stand on. And there's nothing for you to go back to and rely on. And your audience will be the same way. It's like, well, what are we coming here for? That's hard for me because I'm a big TikTok person personally. Like I just love the scroll and I get sucked in. And I think of things like there's this trend where people are voicing over some popular song. And I'm like, oh, Ken, this would be so fun. Let's do it. And it doesn't work for us. Like you have to realize what doesn't work for your brand. And there's a lot of on-brand trendy things that we do not do because it just doesn't work for our audience. Yeah. It would be fun to do, but you know, and you don't like to lip sync.
No, I don't sing very well anyway. You know what I mean?
What do you think is some of the biggest mistakes that we've made?
Oh, and viewers don't see it.
So, yeah.
You know, to me, it would be when we were in a bind filming and if the weather was not cooperating and I left an ingredient 27 miles away somewhere else, you know, have to go back to the house to pick it up, to bring it back out there. And everything's then on hold. Then the light has changed. Then the wind is worse. But there's been a lot of things that I've learned from mistake-wise. And one of it is, when you start shooting this video, this is not regular cooking time anymore. This is not, I'm going to cook this 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Then it'll be done.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much more to it because you have to build the fire, but you want to show people, what did you put in the fire? Was there a certain kind of wood you use, certain kind of smoking wood? But also now we have to go back through this again, the recipe. Now we have to do some change over here. So it was really hard for me.
Was your biggest mistake not planning well?
Yeah. But it was really hard for me to try to understand, this is messing up my rhythm.
What's really hard too, now that we have a TV show, so it's not even just me producing. Now the TV show on the Outdoor Channel, the Cast Iron Cowboy, what's really great for me is I don't have to produce. I don't have to edit, none of that. I'm on camera cooking with Kent and it's set up like we do in ranching, but production time is so different. Like you said,
Yeah. We
could cook this cake in 30 minutes. Well, not in production time because you have to stop, you have to do cameras, Yeah. You have to reset and do lighting. So a 30-minute cake will take 4 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I was always one, let's saddle the horse and ride, you know?
Yeah. No.
And that don't work a lot of times, but it's planning was my biggest deal that I didn't come up with. Did I allow enough time or did I change this or was this going to work for today? What time was we going to do this? There's so many variables that fit in there when you're doing this, because it's not just like going in the backyard and cooking.
I think my biggest mistakes is, now this is coming from a place, not in the beginning. This is as we've grown. I didn't delegate enough, and we should have hired people sooner. And if you're an entrepreneur, you know this, you take on everything, and it's hard to give things up because, again, this is your baby, this is your brand. It's hard to rely on other people to take that weight. But it is very important. If you want to grow, you have to learn to delegate and hire people, because surprise, there are some people that do things better than you do in certain elements. And so building a trustworthy team is huge. It's easy for me to say that. We've been through a lot of different people and elements. And again, it's one of those things, you just take baby steps and you finally find the people you trust who believe in you. And if you get a stellar team behind you, and even that, even if it's not your working team, maybe it's just like friends and family, you need support. I just want to go through some viewer questions that we have gotten in the past that maybe you will find interesting or informative if you are exploring your brand. Have you ever wanted to quit?
Ever wanted to quit? There's been a few times that I wanted to postpone. Not quit. Quit is not in vocabulary that I grew up with, and I try not to have it now, ever, because there are a lot of people counting on what me and you do. And if we quit, and if there's just one person that misses it, we didn't do our job. Quitting is not an option. Now, let's postpone. I can remember them days when it was like either 118 and we were cooking, or it was -3 and the wind was blowing, then I might have wanted to postpone.
Is there any, and you may not have an answer to this, but is there any one moment that kind of comes to mind where you're like, this is it, I'm done, I can't do it anymore?
Oh.
I don't know if I have. Again, I think it's just been little moments where you get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And you think like, I don't know if this is worth it, but I don't know if there's any one moment where it's like.
I don't think there's ever been just one particular thing that said, hey, you can't go no more, this is it. Nah.
What advice would you give to someone starting in social media?
First of all, be real to who you are. Mm-hmm. Be consistent every time and put your heart into it. Let people know that they really care. They truly care about what they're putting out, their content, but they care about me as a person. To me, I think sometimes people get so wrapped up in viral videos and content mm-hmm. and everything else in the world, they forget about who's watching it. Mm-hmm. Let's be there for the people.
Yep.
I'm all for the people, Shan. Yes, ma'am.
Mine would be go on multiple platforms. And that is creating a system where you create one video, but it goes on multiple sources. Because back in the day, I think you could rely on just one platform. Now, to be successful, I don't think that's the best option, especially because it's so volatile. You don't know what's happening. But like, we create one short video of like, one we did that just went crazy was jalapeno dip. We created that and we posted it on YouTube, Instagram Reels, Facebook Reels, YouTube Shorts. So you get one video, multiple platforms. It's kind of doing the work for you. Also in the comments, let us know, would you like us in a future episode to go more in depth on any of this? Maybe this isn't interesting to you guys. Maybe like the business side. Maybe you just want to hear more behind the scenes wackiness. Do you want to hear more like the data or how to? Let us know. If you just had $400 to start a YouTube channel, what would you get first?
Someone like you run it for me. I don't know if you can do that for. I'd get me an iPhone if I could.
And here's the thing, like, so that doesn't even count because most people have a phone already. Yeah. So you can't use that excuse.
Get you a good little audio
mic. Yeah. We use Rode. I think it's called a Rode Go.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
It is.
Mine would be, there are a lot of, now, don't get mad at me, people. There's a lot of AI programs out there. Here's the balance that you need to be careful with AI. AI can be extremely helpful, but you have to remember you also have to be authentic and real. So use AI to help maybe you generate ideas. There is a platform that I love that I use called VidIQ. It integrates with YouTube and it gives you all sorts of different tools. It tells you data like what's trending right now? How could you improve your thumbnail? What's a good title that you could use for your channel or your video? So I would invest in a third-party program whether it's AI, where it's VidIQ, whether it's some sort of a reach search tool to help you get started. They're cheap. So find one of those. Another thing too, if anybody's interested in editing software, because I do get that question a lot. So I'm an Apple person. Of course, I shoot on an iPhone. Final Cut Pro is what I use now. However, iMovie, which is the free version, and it's very basic. It's super user-friendly. If you need to start on something, I would recommend that. It's really easy. There are also several online editors. Some of them have free options. Some of them are paid, but again, it's pretty minimal. I like CapCut. I like Veed, V-E-E-D, and also Canva. Canva is primarily like a photo editing graphic, but they have expanded and they offer some really neat video features to do. You can add captions to videos. Again, they have a free service, I think up to a certain point, and then a membership. But please don't let the editing software scare you or prevent you from starting something, because there's a lot of easy options out there. What's the least glamorous part of your job?
The least glamorous part of my job, I would say all the cleanup, mostly.
That's a great one, because, you know, like,
people don't ever see that part. When you're shooting a video and it's 6 or 8 hours long, how much stuff did you drag out to create all this stuff?
Not only the food and the like dishes that you have to do elsewhere, but then like the camera, yeah, and the pod,
or the lighting.
Yeah, all the things. Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I've ever been glamorous, you know, but what we get to see when we're cooking in some of the remote places that we've been makes it all worthwhile for the glamour part of it. You are my glamorous. You and the schnauzer down there who's taking a nap.
That's another reason I'm not on front camera all the time. That means I have to shower, do my hair, makeup. I'd much rather be behind, you know, on the camera. But the biggest point, like the biggest takeaway we want for y'all is that to build something meaningful, it doesn't happen overnight. Yeah. It's little moments. It's day by day. It's being authentic. It's believing in yourself, even when things are hard. Even when you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, it's there. You just have to keep clawing your way out. And I think what's really interesting for us is, with over 7 million followers we have across all of our brands or all of our platforms, it may feel like we have it figured out. And when you're watching other people, it may seem like they have it figured out. But you have to remember, social media is misleading. People are posting the best of the best. You don't always see all the heartache and the hardship. So keep that in mind. And what I love about what we've done is that we have been able to morph over the years. And what's great, now that we have a podcast, we're able to take our food and change it into more of our behind the scenes, what our life is really like, how we can share stories of faith with you all. And I think that's what's really fun about, yeah, where we've gotten to, is we've been able to expand and share more of, yeah, our life.
It's about sharing more than anything else. As my mother would say a long time ago, there's two little words and they rhyme often all the time. That's caring and sharing. Be sure you do both. You'll make a difference in someone's life. And that's what it is for me every day. If we can get up and we can do something that's going to help someone, or give someone a brighter day, bring a smile to someone's face, give a pat on the back to somebody, an attaboy. That's what life is about to me. And don't quit. Just keep going. Climb that ladder. And then if you ain't got to the top where you want to be, get another ladder and stack on that and keep on climbing, right?
Absolutely. Now, our one final quick little segment we call One More Cup. And this is where we just talk about what we have been rabbit holing or thinking about researching this past week. And Kent, this has been a little more than just this last week, but Kent just became a great grandfather.
Yeah, I mean, I've had grandkids, but great grandfather
is the first title you had.
Yes. And
a little girl.
Yeah. And I look so forward to seeing this little gem. Grandkids was always good because you can do what you want to with them and you can send them home. But I'm thinking great grandkids are probably even going to be better, because you can do twice as much and still send them home.
Well, and just for you those that don't know, Kent has 2 boys and 3 grandkids, yep, 2 grandsons, a granddaughter, and the granddaughter is the one who just, yeah, had the baby.
And you're a great grandma now.
I guess I'm a great, yes, step great grandma.
Yeah.
And also, if you haven't noticed, it's been a couple episodes and we haven't talked about it, but we have a new sign behind me, Cowboy Coffee Hour, and our friends, the Berry Hill family, made this for us. Yeah. And we absolutely love it. I think it classes up our little
They're
nook
such
here.
Great people. Anna, we are honored to have it. We are. But we thank y'all so much for taking time to visit with us today. We appreciate it. We do. We never take it for granted. And remember, success doesn't just happen overnight. It happens through a period of time that's going to test you, that there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations. But quitting is not an option. And remember, you're not alone. God is with you and we are with you. And we can all make a difference in someone's life, and that's what it's about. But it is with pride, honor, and privilege that I tip my hat to all our servicemen and women and all the veterans that have kept that old flag flying over camp. We commend you all and lift you up in prayer daily. God bless each and every one of you. Shan, thank you for being the brains, the beauty, and the talent of this thing. Mage, I'm glad you had a good nap. We appreciate it. We'll see y'all down the podcast trail.
Pioneer.